Last week on Discovery Channel's Three Nerds and a Microphone, the boys traveled to Idaho in search of a rare and treasured comic. Unable to find it or even find their way out of the Boise Airport parking lot, they returned home with renewed purpose and several new delicious microbrews. They couldn't find that elusive comic, but they discovered it wasn't the comic that was important, but the journey. The quest. The joy of the book. I believe it was Bri who put it best when he said,
"Where are we in Idaho?"
To which Kyle replied,
"Stop crying. Shut up."
And then they started to kiss in Heavy Pet. It was super awkward. Merc opened a third growler and sat back to watch. No judgment.
Is that what you had written down?
Yes.
Ah, so it worked out pretty well.
Yeah. That last part... You predicted us very well.
I know you well.
This may appear to be only monkey business, but in reality, it's very serious, ladies.
Zero Issues Comic Podcast.
Zero Issues
Comic Podcast.
Excelsior!
Hi, I'm Kyle.
I'm Merc.
I presume that I am Bri.
I hope you are. You're in my house.
Bri until proven otherwise.
Yeah.
Mystique!
Bri until proven guilty!
Bri until proven guilty is, I'm very excited for my show that's called that.
Soon to be on Nickelodeon.
Yeah.
Or possibly the Sci-Fi Channel. Or like, Freeform.
Well, Weird Al does the theme song for it.
Pretty good. That's the sitcom I developed about that 6 months I worked in a law firm.
Oh, that's the thing that happened. I forgot about that.
Yeah,
that's not even a joke. That's real.
It sucked. I was bad at it.
I'm just too white and nerdy. I get so white and nerdy.
Are we recording an episode?
I don't know. Let's get some news.
Do it.
Current Zero News Flash.
So Secret Empire is coming up, huh?
Oh, is it?
Like,
yeah.
So you know, in things in the past, both Civil Wars, Avengers versus X-Men, stuff like that. It's hero versus hero, and it's what side are you on? Let's choose sides. Sides. Mm-hmm. It's been said that in this, you know, Captain America, Steve Rogers, agent of Hydra, he's not a side. He's not a sympathetic character. He's a villain.
Yeah.
It's just like, he's just a freaking villain. This isn't going to be like Cyclops doing what he thinks is right or anything like that. No. Steve Rogers is just a villain.
Chilling like a villain. Chilling like a villain. Chilling like a villain. Said I'm chilling like a...
Just straight up a Nazi now.
Yeah. That's news.
Well, but that's supposed... Not that there's the whole Baron Zemo Flash taking control of you kind of thing. Isn't there? That's what
I mean.
There was a little
apparently,
thing.
The Cosmic Cube thing?
Yeah.
Allegedly, the idea, and again, this hasn't played out yet, but allegedly the actual idea of Secret Empire is that the Allies use the Cosmic Cube. This is the original state of things, and the Allies use the Cosmic Cube in order to make Captain America a good guy. That's what's being pitched. There will likely be a twist that makes that not the case, but that is what is being stated, is that originally the Axis won World War II. This is setting things back to the original way, because the Allies used the Cosmic Cube to change things to save the world.
Well, here's the thing. It doesn't matter who's right or wrong in that.
Who cares? It's a story.
Yeah,
All we're doing is reading stories. We don't need to pick a side. This is actual politics.
But it's been forced in the past. It's like,
You know, that's how they've been playing it.
And it's kind of refreshing that
it is.
It isn't.
Yeah, here's an actual story. But that being said,
if the premise of
your
story,
I'm not going to read it because I'm sick of your events, and I'm not going to give you money for your.
If the premise of your story is that Captain America was originally a Nazi, off. That is the worst idea I've ever heard in my life.
I'm totally fine with it.
I'm not, well, because the well, Captain
he
was, America... Because
he means something in comics and out.
Well, no, because Captain America was invented by two Call Jewish back. Creators in response to Nazism.
Yeah, well, yeah, but then we look at, you know, in quote-unquote the real world, that classic cover of Captain America planting a nice little kiss on Adolf Hitler's cheek.
That's true.
That's a fun visual that would probably get someone's house bombed.
Yeah.
And it did, because at the time, actually, creating Captain America, the police had to protect Joe Simon and Jack Kirby from actual Nazis.
Nobody had to protect Jack Kirby.
Well, that's true. No, Nazis came to Marvel headquarters and said, hey, come down here and fight us.
And he rolled up his sleeves. He's
he
like,
went that. And guess what? Jack Kirby was fine.
Vive la France! Vive la liberté!
If I have anything to say about it...
So what else is in the news?
So Joss Whedon is doing Batgirl.
Hey, we all like that, right?
Everybody likes that.
Hey, let's all hug about
Yay.
That.
Yay. Spread off ice. Hey.
No, I hate you both now.
I love you.
Hey, yay.
Come along, little Pengy.
Oh, struck out by Batgirl.
We have Batgirl, Joss Whedon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is a good matchup.
Please. Please make it good.
On a couple of levels.
He's got a pretty good track record.
On a couple of levels, that's a real good guess.
But then again, he's got Dollhouse.
Yeah.
And I don't...
He has moments.
And Avengers 2.
And I don't care about Firefly.
I didn't hate Avengers 2.
You don't like Firefly?
You know what? I've never seen Firefly. I watched the first episode, you know, in 98, 99, whatever that was. I watched about a third of Serenity. I'm like... This is boring. I don't care.
Shut up!
Based on what's been stated, and it might be rumor or what have you, that it's like sort of a post-Killing Joke thing that she was...
Oh, I haven't heard that.
Like, it might be sort of taking as inspiration from Batgirl of Burnside, that kind of a thing. Like, okay. the purple jacket.
Yeah.
Run.
Okay, yeah.
Which I really liked.
Yeah.
So that could be a fun take on the character. I mean, if you're going to do Batgirl... In that universe particularly, I feel like, have some fun with it.
Yeah, she should be hanging out at the Burnside Skate Park.
What? Yeah.
We got any Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 1 fans in the house?
Woo!
Manuals can go to hell.
Oh,
fuck that, I'm only 2.
Hey, you like that school 2, huh? You like school? Check out school 2. Watch out for Officer Dick. That's okay, Spider-Man's here.
I'm Batman.
I'm a Mario.
I'm Batman.
I'm a Mario.
Okay, a couple of quick news bits. Daredevil Season 3 and Jessica Jones Season 2 are gearing up to film. Like, I didn't even know if either of them would actually happen. Mm. They were talking about Daredevil Season 2, just that would be it, possibly. And then the Defenders and the...
Did you know Defenders is only 10 episodes?
Is it?
Yeah. I
how long are these series usually?
13.
13, yeah.
Except for Iron Fist, which was 48. I'm kidding. I have not seen Iron Fist yet.
I don't know how many it is, because it just seems really long.
Let's not get into that. Yeah.
No, I haven't seen it yet.
I did see one article.
Just like the guy that played Iron Fist.
I saw one article that actually outlined
very unbiasedly,
like, here's the things that are wrong with how Iron Fist worked out.
Yeah.
And it was like, this was going pretty well, this was not going pretty well, and it was poor casting.
Characterization was sort of...
Yeah, characterization and
so
and
angry
the
sometimes.
Yeah. Well, that was the thing. It was like, I'm a living weapon, but I get my ass kicked by a thug. Lots of stuff.
The guy doing the drunken boxing, though, that was pretty cool. I like that fight.
stuff with
Colleen Wing,
that was some of the best
stuff.
Here's the thing, guys. I really want to finish this episode, but I'm just going to power up my chi.
There are different ways to create a chi ball, and these are just two ways of doing it. Find a technique that works for you.
Speaking of powering up my chi, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. might get the axe.
Really?
They're talking about it might not get renewed.
This last season, as far as I'm concerned, has been really good.
I think it started off really strong.
When these things get canceled.
Yeah, yeah. That's true. Especially if a Whedon name is attached to
mm-hmm.
Shut up!
I hope that doesn't happen. I mean, like, I feel like they really found their stride. Well, again,
are you up to date?
Yeah, they're still on hiatus, right?
One has started.
Ooh, I haven't seen that one yet then.
Yeah.
Ooh.
One in the Hydraverse or whatever in the
front. Yeah. How was that?
It was okay, and it's interesting. I just was like, I don't know if I'm just not in the mindset of it.
Okay.
I was like, oh, you did Ghost Rider and you're doing kind of Darkholdy stuff, and I really enjoyed that first arc. I was like, that was super fun and just great. And then
I like the LMD stuff too.
And LMD stuff was interesting. I thought that maybe dragged a little bit to me. It wasn't. Like, it wasn't quite.
I feel
as
like
good.
They're trying to not drag things too much. They're trying to.
And
like,
yeah, I get
arcs,
it. And
good,
but that's the thing. It was like it wasn't super long. So if you didn't like it, it didn't take long to get through it, and you were done, and you moved on to the next thing.
Right.
This just came out of so left field. Yeah. With the whole framework thing, like, oh, we're in Hydraverse.
Yeah.
And how synergistic that is.
I feel
is.
Like it was set up enough, but, I mean, I haven't seen that episode yet, so I
there was
really
no setup
know.
At all for it.
Well, like, they were all... The
well, they were going
episode,
into...
The... They were all
well, no,
in.
But I mean, they just suddenly, everything's Hydra. Oh,
yeah.
There's no way to know
and there's
that.
Sort of that element
everything
of it
is
not
Hydra.
Being real.
Da, 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 da. Everything is cool.
I guess Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. beat the comics to Secret Empire then, I guess.
Yeah. Well, that's what I mean. They're
kind of
synergistic. They're,
yeah.
But I guess we should stop talking news. Hey, Bri. Why don't you warm me up?
Welcome to the warm-up.
Here's something I'm doing on the warm-up this time.
Okay.
It could be a new feature.
Ooh.
Have we done this before? And
yes.
This is literally me asking a question. We've talked a lot about this particular movie and it's an easy shot. But I'm talking about the idea is fix the sequel. And it could be a comic.
Yeah.
It could be a movie. It could be anything. The idea is something that did not go over too well. But guess what? You're doing a sequel to it, and you're trying to fix its errors.
Rather than rebooting it.
Rather
just forgetting
than rebooting.
It, let's
no
just
reboots.
I'm,
have we all had
yay,
enough reboots?
I love that. I love
sometimes
it. I love it already.
Sometimes
I want,
something kind of...
I want more reboots. I'm excited for more reboot.
Yeah.
Let's see some more reboots.
I love abandonment of stories.
Yeah.
Yes.
Sometimes something stinks up the joint. Sometimes, you know what? Maybe you can save it.
So what do you got?
I'm starting it off with the easiest of easy shots. Not Fantastic Four.
Oh.
The Fist?
No, I'm starting off it with Suicide Squad 2.
Oh.
We've talked a fair amount about Suicide Squad, but just talking about a few ideas.
We have Darling.
No rebooting. Yes, we have Darling. No reboots.
I forgot about
taking
that.
What's
begun.
Been...
Begun.
Taking what's there... You can change some things in the framework that most movies do.
Yeah.
Some roles are sometimes recast. Sometimes Don Cheadle walks in, you're just like, where have you been all my life?
Boom. Are you looking? Why do I even talk to you guys? Everywhere else that story kills.
We have had 8 months of sober thought. And
right.
Also drunken thought.
All right. So what do we do
let's
with
figure
Suicide
this
Squad?
Out. How do we salvage this franchise and going forward?
Boomerang. Bring him forth.
Weirdly enough,
yeah.
Jai Courtney, more of him.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah.
I would agree.
Yeah.
Deadshot, much less, if any.
Yeah.
Because he's sort of like it was a Deadshot and Harley movie.
It was.
We can have more Harley, I'm fine with that. Deadshot as that character. Whatever.
More of an idea of balance.
Yeah.
Like, you can have as much of that, but as long as it's balanced in a certain way
Guardian,
so that it doesn't...
Guardians wasn't Star-Lord the movie.
Yeah.
No.
Exactly.
It would be nice to see you have Will Smith, who's Mr. Big Shot guy who's had some rough...
Woo!
Rough stuff. Yeah, he's in that movie, but played as an actual ensemble movie.
Yeah.
Where he is in the background most of the time. Like, he has his moments.
He's part of a group rather but than... But he's not... I'm forefront, well, and I have to tell my story. Part of some sort of
squad.
Yes, exactly.
Here's a very serious idea I have.
Uh-oh.
Rick Flagg.
Yep.
Recasted.
By?
Peter Weller. And here's why. Joel Kinnaman is the one who replaced him in the RoboCop remake, and that sucked. Also, not very good in Suicide Squad, so I'm just saying, guess what? All of a sudden, Rick Flagg walks in, it's
Don Cheadle.
Do you not want to see Peter Weller in a tough guy military role with the Suicide Squad? I think that would be very enjoyable.
Arnold Schwarzenegger. Grizzled old...
Also, fine.
You know what? I just watched Aftermath, which I have no idea what I was walking into.
Yeah.
It's a super heavy drama with Arnold Schwarzenegger, and he was actually fucking good in it.
Oh, I'm sure it was.
I was blown away by it. But it was... In the state that he's in, he's not Buff Arnie anymore at all.
No.
He's
an old man.
Saggy flapping in the wind, sort of thing.
He's a pecs of flapping.
Yeah, there's a heavy breeze.
There's a hole in this garbage bag.
It's kind of funny that we're talking about Arnie.
Yeah.
Considering what we're going to talk about.
You know what? I'm slightly disappointed that I was like, hey, bring Peter Weller to this and... I thought somebody would be.
I don't mind him, but I
he's
like
an
him
okay
more.
Batman. He's an okay.
I like him with fun. Naked Lunch, yeah. So it's like but, well, surrealistic,
he voiced
crazy
Batman.
Stuff.
He voiced Batman.
Did he?
In
Dark Knight Returns.
Yeah.
Right.
And that, even that was like, eh.
I did not like that.
All I'm saying is Joel Kinnaman is not good, and here's Kitana. She's got my back. That entire. Like, that was bad writing. Yeah. However,
yeah,
that's the worst possible performance of that writing.
This is Kitana. She's got my back.
I feel like Peter Weller could do it better.
I think a lot of people could do it better.
There is
not
a lot
me,
of people.
But a lot of other
she's
people.
She's got my back.
That's true. Yeah. All right, fine.
Yeah.
Either way, Joel Kinnaman out.
Yeah.
Is the gist.
Okay.
Joel McHale.
Oh, God.
I just want the man to find honest work, frankly.
I would take it, to be honest.
At least he could grow a full beard, not that four-day scruff bullshit that Rick Flagg had.
Yeah.
I don't... What's the actor's name?
Joel Kinnaman. No one cares.
I already forgot it.
Is it Joel? I don't know. Maybe that's wrong. Maybe I'm just mixing up him and Joel McHale, and then I'm thinking of Joel McHale, and I want Joel McHale.
McHale's Navy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, there's that movie. That's the remake we need.
Yeah. Kelsey Grammer.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, perfect.
Yeah.
All right.
Man, I mean, I loved playing the Beast. I call him the blue guy. And,
Nextly, I will say, no magic.
Mm-hmm.
No, like, Superman level
Street
superpowers.
Street level the heck out of it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or absolutely. At least have, like, natural powers to some degree.
Oh, here's an idea. One of the best Suicide Squad-esque things that I've seen
mm-hmm.
was on Justice League Unlimited.
Mm-hmm.
When they
the Task Force X episode.
Exactly,
yeah.
When they went on to the satellite. And that was all really heavy espionage-esque, so an all-street level. Like, they were dealing with the powers of all sorts, but really all those characters were all like,
right.
Like, oh, he, Deadshot, puts together the plastic gun, and, you know,
yeah.
Everybody's just got the bombs and doing their boomerangs and whatever. And it was like, it was so much fun, and it was like all kind of... Almost like a Mission Impossible sort of
yeah.
approach it like
yeah.
Mission Impossible.
Can we get some Clock King in there?
Oh, that'd be cool.
And can we get Mitch Pleggy? For Clock
As
King?
Clock King?
Yeah.
Oh,
the glasses
yeah.
in the bathtub.
And put him in the bathtub.
Pleggs. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
With
yeah.
clock glasses.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh,
someone's got an easy variant.
Finally, that thing will sell.
Yeah. It hasn't?
I think I bought 5 of those like 2 or 3 years ago. I have 2 left.
I want one. I didn't. I thought you were sold out. I thought you didn't have any. I haven't seen any of them.
I don't put it out too much anymore because people don't buy it.
I will buy one. Bring it tomorrow. What do we think about Crocodile Rock?
Can I say something?
No.
I have a thought, but it also ties into the last one, which is pure espionage, no superpowers. However,
well, you gotta have powers.
Yes, I feel like the idea of like being like a paramilitary black ops force, a lot of military political intrigue and stuff in a superhero world makes sense. I think I might have suggested this before on the podcast, I could be wrong, but maybe their mission is there's a certain dictator or leader in a foreign country that's posing a problem. Gotta take him out.
Latveria.
It's Gorilla Grodd.
Oh.
They're gonna take out Gorilla Grodd in Gorilla City. And they gotta go undercover and do that. However,
as gorillas.
I'd say, yeah. But,
how are we gonna look like gorillas? Magic!
Do gorillas have sewers? I don't know where to go.
It's tricky.
We're gonna need a lot of music montages to get in here.
Yeah, really.
I am not saying this idea holds up. It's a mere pitch. No, however, no. Forget Gorilla Croc. Who you need is King Shark.
Yeah.
All I'm saying is, I would like a King Shark versus Gorilla Grodd fight in a major motion picture.
That would be delightful.
I want that so bad that it hurts me inside. Both of those characters have been introduced in the Flash show. Gorilla City's been introduced in the Flash show, but it's been so low budget, it's just like,
The shark actually looked pretty good.
It looked okay.
It was a very quick
thing. It showed up for 3 seconds, so they were able to pour the entire episode's budget into those 3 seconds.
Exactly, yeah.
But in a major motion picture, that was real interesting. And you have this idea, politically, they're taking down foreign dictators, except in the DC universe, the foreign dictators are superhuman gorillas, because that's the world they live in. So you keep it down to earth, but down to earth in the scale of their world, which is bananas.
Oh.
And you can take it seriously, but also have a lot of fun with it, and not just have a belly dancing magic lady.
You did also say bananas.
Sorry, I say bananas. You were very excited at that word.
As soon as you said it, my entire face.
He's been waiting. Yeah.
I also have another dumb joke. Can I just say something?
Yeah.
Polybical. Fuck, I fucked it up.
I do have one other recast.
Sure.
Amanda Waller.
Ooh.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oprah Winfrey.
Oh. Okay.
It just seems natural.
Yeah.
I just think she's actually Amanda Waller.
I feel like Viola Davis is a good Amanda Waller.
I like her, but...
The main thing is, she was... incompetent in that movie. She was like the dumbest.
Yeah.
Like literally every problem was her fault.
And I feel like Oprah would never let that happen. She'd be like, no.
To be fair,
I'm on the cover and everything. And I have my magazine and I have everything and I'm everything. Yeah. So I am control of you all.
I think Oprah should be Max Lord in that universe.
Yeah, totally.
But look at the Batman that Amanda Waller is up against.
A dummy.
A real dummy.
He is dumb as fuck. He got played so easily, so easily. Like, literally any person in the audience is like, oh yeah, that's...
Who believes dumb. Their dreams?
A dumb idiot. I think we could just, instead, how about you just get CCH Pounder to be Amanda Waller, because she played her vocally, and also could very easily play her physically. Just her. She's good. Justice League Amanda Waller. She'd be great.
I always either pictured Oprah or in Daredevil. Or not Daredevil, Luke Cage.
Oh, yes. Her name, who she played, Mariah.
Yeah, she played Mariah, yeah.
Yeah.
Totally forgetting her name.
She's fantastic.
She's a fantastic actress, and I was, yeah.
And I will say, no Justice League characters, no Joker.
Just totally drop the joke.
Tell your story without having to tie into a wider universe. Should be existing in its own world.
Well, but you can make the thing is the cool thing is you can make nods to wider universes and Harley mentions Joker. All you have to do is mention. You don't actually have to show the character. You don't have to have
interaction. It's almost as if she could have just mentioned him one time and it would have had every bit as much effect as that entire movie.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's like, no, but we got to have him in there. Like, no, you
didn't.
Don't. You didn't. Really did not a lot. Yeah, it was, whatever.
Anyway.
So did we fix Suicide Squad?
I feel like we at least had some ideas that could make it better.
Okay.
Shing!
I'm pulling out my sword.
Gross.
Do you want to hold my sword?
All right.
I like how you actually
move. Oh, yeah.
You moved your hands, actually.
This is a... it is dangerous, you know, to go alone.
The riddle of steel.
the sword is his penis. Yes. There is already a song about
how easy is it to hold?
Well, I mean, it's a handful, but it ain't two handfuls.
It's not a it's not a two-handed sword, sorry. But it's a broad
sword. It is a broad sword.
Yeah.
But it's also a long sword. But it isn't a Naginata? Naginta? I don't know how to pronounce that one. I'm just listing the weapons from Bushido Blade now.
Is it a katana?
So, main topic, yeah. Yeah,
all right. Anyways, let's go to the main topic, shall we? Huzzah!
Hail and well met, my dude. Leave that in.
Moses.
What? Moses?
I don't know.
The
biblical character.
Yeah.
The sword and sorcery of the Bible.
What the f***?
So yeah, this week we're talking about sword and sorcery, guys. So, Merc is very excited.
I'm so excited, and I just can't hide it.
I'm so scared.
He's not even trying to hide it, you guys.
Anyway.
This better not be Haga. I would sell Haga to a slayer such as you.
Go. I'm a huge Conan nut.
Conan!
Conan specifically, but I do love the
That's my Regis, apparently.
I do love sword and sorcery overall. Allow me just to blurt out. Okay, Conan was created by Robert E. Howard, originally like in the pulp story stuff.
Yeah, right,
I'm done. I'm leaving.
No, this is the part gets sped up.
Kyle's gonna need more Smirnoff Ice for this.
Yeah, you definitely. Yeah, he is considered the father of sword and sorcery stories.
Yes.
Really, this is where it started. He like created in the pulp stories, didn't like.
But how do you feel about Kull the Conqueror?
He was created by Robert E. Howard.
Yes.
Well, and did you know that the first Conan story was actually a tossed off Kull the Conqueror? And by the look on your face, you knew that.
That was part of my research, and I knew for sure that the minute I suggested it, you would jump on it and know everything about it.
By This Axe I Rule was the name of the Kull story, and it was changed to The Phoenix on the Sword, which was published in December of 1932 in Weird Tales. And from that point, that was the first story, and there were 17 stories published in the next 4 years. Until Robert E. Howard's death in June of 36,
right,
to which he committed suicide. Mm. There's a lot of talk that he was actually had some very serious mental health issues. Like you could tell a lot in his letters. He wrote a lot of letters to a lot of different people. He was very good friends with a lot of different writers, including H.P. Lovecraft. He was considered part of the H.P. Lovecraft Circle, it was right. called. There was, like, these pulp writers that...
And particularly Cole, as far as, like, its world seemed more Lovecraftian.
Yeah.
In a way that, like, tied into the same sensibility.
It had, more Atlantean and kind of the old godsy sort of thing.
Right.
And then... but it was weird. If you look at a lot of the Robert E. Howard writings and his history and what he spoke about in his writings and his letters and stuff, he would... He was just waiting for Conan to happen. And it was this weird thing that he actually says that he was like, it just happened. He found me. I did not find him. He just was like, it just kind of, it was something that was building in me for so long. And it you have these little nuggets that he did, like little poems and stories. And he took a little bits from previous things. And I think he wrote a poem called like Sumeria or something, which is Conan is Sumerian in the mythos, and so he kind of drew from that and kind of created this whole thing. And it was like the Hyborian age, and a lot of it's like based on like Viking-esque.
Is it Hyboria or Hyperborea?
It's Hyperborea. Sorry. But it's weird. Like it falls in within like Viking age, but not Viking age,
yeah.
And borrows from a lot of different mythologies and timelines and things. But then, yeah, kind of created 17 stories, but then there was like four, I think, produced that were unpublished, and then after his death were published, and then other people picked up. L. Sprague continued along a lot of the stories. There's been the Conan films, the cartoons, the comics, the magazines, the reprint books.
The video games. Including one that just came out a little while ago.
Really?
What? Where your created character, completely nude, and you can control the girth with a very special slider.
By Crom, I'm huge.
And hell.
Good lord. Have you ever seen the cartoon?
I have not, but I've seen He-Man.
You know what?
We'll get there.
I actually didn't write anything about He-Man because I knew I could just talk about whatever.
All I wrote was He-Man and the mystery of dumb naming conventions. What are you? Oh, you're a bug? Well, buzz off.
Meh.
It's an insult, but it's also your name.
Look at my face. What am I called?
Meh. Yay. Stop that.
Yeah. The cartoon, they tried to, like, kid-friendly it.
Yeah.
Well, I have the first season downstairs.
I saw Toxic Crusaders.
Good lord. Oh, I've never seen that.
Oh, well, it's a Toxic Avenger
cartoon.
Toxic
Avenger, yeah. Oh, my.
Yeah.
There's
also Conan. The Rambo cartoon, the RoboCop cartoon. The toys all had cap guns, like, built into them. It's great.
The Conan one is particularly
painful. You want your room to smell like smoke, kids?
Painful. Yeah.
There's an easier way than smoking RoboCop toys.
Yeah.
Conan toys if you smoke them.
And you will.
RoboCop and the Ultra Police, each sold separately. The only cops with rapid repeat cap firing.
Evil Headhunter on a Skullhawk is cruising for trouble. RoboCop in its armored RoboCopter takes off after it. Fire RoboMissile. We'll give you a lift to jail.
Like I said, he's the father of sword and sorcery, and a lot of stuff came out of that. Not that there weren't, like, fantasy-esque stuff before that, but he kind of created a certain genre that spawned from that. Cull, like, being his own stuff. Like, John Carter, Warlord, Red Sonja. Sonja was later created to be part of the Conan universe, but was not created by Robert E. Howard. It was created by...
Roy Thomas.
Roy Thomas, yeah.
And there's an interesting... twist there.
Yeah.
As worked up as people get about characters being gender swapped these days, Red Sonja, originally mentioned, I think, in Howard stories, was a dude. Pretty sure, or at least was vague enough where it wasn't
really
mentioned to be a woman.
I've never heard that.
No,
I've read all the books.
Apparently that is, I could be wrong, and if I'm wrong, you can slap me twice upon the face. But Roy Thomas's version being like the redheaded, woman in the chainmail.
The redhead of kind of Valkyrie-esque sort of thing.
Like there was a Red Sonja in...
spelled with a Y.
Yeah. Red Sonja of Rogantino in Howard's words. And then Red Sonja of Hurricania? Hurricania? I forget.
Oh,
Hurricanian. Yeah, exactly. So... from what I have read, that could very potentially be a gender-swapped character, where, like, originally it was, like, vague and you didn't know too much, and it was turned into a woman.
Huh.
Interesting. And the version of Red Sonja that you know is very much Roy Thomas.
Yeah. Created. Oh, it's completely Roy Thomas.
Like, the Howard one was very, like, not too much, as much known a thing, and
if anything, it would have been just, like, a name mentioned.
Right.
Because I've read... my brother... who's 6 years older than I am, he read all the Conan books. When I was a kid, he had, like, the paperbacks with the Frazetta covers, and that was my first introduction. I'm like, these paintings are fucking amazing.
Look what the mic is on top of.
Yeah, exactly.
It's literally.
Icon, a retrospective of Frank Frazetta.
Right.
What's...
underneath?
Conan,
the phenomenon.
Yeah.
He knows what he likes.
Exactly.
That's what has been suggested. I don't know if it's true because I'm not a scholar of this you are, but...
Okay, very briefly, because I'm sure you've seen it, and I wanted to watch it in anticipation of doing this episode tonight. Have you seen the Red Sonja movie?
Oh, yeah.
How is it?
I have it downstairs.
I'm not surprised, but how is it?
It's horrible.
It's like, what, 1987 or something like that?
Yeah, it's brutal.
Can we add something to potential movie nights in the future?
Because, oh, yeah.
Oh, boy. Yeah. I am actually real interested.
You know who plays Red Sonja, right?
I did, but I can't remember her name.
What's her name?
Bridget Nielsen.
Bridget Nielsen. Okay. Yeah, so that pretty much tells you all that you need to know.
Neato.
Yeah, it's and
Barbara LeSue.
And Arnold Schwarzenegger plays a cameo in that, but
he plays Conan.
Exactly. They could not actually have him as Conan because they couldn't have the rights to be Conan. So he just plays some guy that looks like Conan.
He was Conan.
Yeah.
He was K-Dog.
Yeah.
Name was Red Sonja. She lived in a savage world in an age of violence. His name was Kalidor. No man could beat him. No sword could stop him.
I'm a mercenary. Nobody pays me. And if I think somebody owes me something, I take it.
But there's all the other stuff like Dagar and Turok and John Carter. Oh, that guy hates Fables. Dinosaurs. ElfQuest, Elric, like a lot of those are borrowed from that. And you know what occurred to me was Lord of the Rings. Lord of the Rings was written after this. Like, would that be? You wouldn't really consider that.
Lord of the Rings is high fantasy.
I guess it would be more high fantasy.
Sorcery is low fantasy, which is like the thing. The way I've come to think of it is, it's the street level.
Of
fantasy.
Totally,
stuff.
That's a good way of describing
it. We're not doing stuff to, and like that.
We're not world. Well, we are world building. There's like heavy world building.
It's reflected
but
in the stories. It's not, this is for the fate of the world. It's like, no, this is a small personal story. This is what happens to these three or four people.
It's pretty cool. They've been talking for years about doing another Conan movie as King Conan, because at the end of Conan the Barbarian, it shows him on the throne, and apparently it's in like pre-production, but.
But like with Schwarzenegger.
With Schwarzenegger, yeah. Which would be
king. Now.
Which would be fun.
That's
with
actually
him,
the only
with
way
him
to
saggy
do
in the wind, it would be awesome. I would love it. It would be great. Like. And all the Conan movies, like Conan the Barbarian is like one of those ones that's, there's like five movies I probably hold so high in my childhood is like just iconic that I've watched so many times. The Destroyer is a big pile of shit.
I feel the same way about Gremlins 2, the new bad.
Remember the last time we told you not to feed them after midnight? We told you to keep them away from the light. And the most important warning of all, we told you to never, ever get them wet. You didn't listen.
I was gonna say
that's number two on my list.
I've seen that like twice maybe.
I was gonna say like Schwarzenegger Conan is like to you as like 1990 Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles is to me.
Yeah, there you go.
But that VHS tape got just wrecked.
Oh, totally.
I love being a barbarian.
Yeah. Now, oddly enough, I didn't have it on DVD for the longest time, and then I bought this DVD collection. It was Barbarian and Destroyer together, and then I throw it on and I watch it, and I basically have that movie memorized.
I would like to see that.
And
what is Batman?
What is best?
I just want my hype. It's like, what is best?
I think we should redub the movie and just have your voice doing a lot of the stuff. What is best in life?
What is best in life?
Yeah, do your new voice. There you go.
This is good. But what is best in life?
Theo, I have to go poop in the toilet.
And the thing is, Rudy, I have to go pee-pee, you see?
Wrong! Conan, what is best in life?
To crush your enemies, see them driven before you, and hear the lamentation of the women.
Modern sword and sorcery.
I want to talk about heavy metal. No, I don't.
Do you want to? I wrote that down.
Like, I can talk a little bit about
heavy metal. You conjured it!
I can talk about The Melting Pot.
The Melting Pot.
Which was a...
It
was adapted into a heavy metal movie, Heavy Metal 2000. It was originally a 4-issue miniseries by Kevin Eastman.
Right.
Right.
You know, that Kevin Eastman.
Right.
There's only the one. Very same. But it's a, you know, it's that sort of space junk. It's sword and sorcery, but it's like, no, but we're using lasers.
Yeah.
Like heavy metal often is.
Yeah,
but like heavy metal in general, there's a lot of both of those.
They can emerge a lot of different genres.
Is heavy metal still going?
I'm
not aware, actually.
I want to say yes.
I haven't been to a 7-Eleven.
Like, it's Eastman who's owned it for years.
Yeah.
I'm not entirely sure what he's up to lately. Like, yeah, I don't follow know. Along the line and stuff.
Is he still doing Ninja Turtle stuff?
He's involved with it. He's still, like, kind of involved in the comic from IDW, and he's kind of just in the loop in general.
He's doing covers that nobody really wants.
Like, he's sort of, like, involved in the plotting process of it, and I feel like he's involved, like, they have him in the loop of what's going on, and he sort of gets a credit for a creative consultant in general. Yeah. Like, he's got himself a good steady paycheck for being on the other end of a phone.
Right.
And you know what? Honestly, good for him.
Yeah, totally. You know what? You created a whole thing. Do it.
He knows what he's doing. That's fine. He's got a good, you know, good level of influence. That's fine. Okay. Peter Laird doesn't want it. He does. He can have it.
Yeah.
I told you, Charlie, I got an angle.
I want to talk my personal blind spots. Please. I'm not sure if this falls in. It's like a fantasy series. I feel like it's a sword and sorcery-ish series.
Okay.
But Telos.
What is it?
Telos?
Yeah, it was created by Mike Waringo.
Okay.
It's not like a hardcore, it's very lighthearted by comparison to say something like Conan.
Yeah.
But it's Mike Waringo and Todd DeZacco, who work together on a lot of things. It's like a story about basically, you know, you have like a young boy who sort of thrusts into a sword and sorcery kind of family settlement with an anthropomorphic tiger man. A genie. A lady pirate. A fox thief.
Arr, lady pirate.
Goes up against, maybe this defies maybe the premise a little bit, but there's evil frog ninja warriors and then the evil boy wizard.
That's totally part of it.
The whole idea is like, it's a very like fanciful, kind of bright colored, kind of fun take on the sword and sorcery thing. I read a little bit when I was much younger. And again, like Mike Waringo sadly passed many years ago.
Yeah.
And I think this series ran like 10 to 12 issues. And I feel I've read something online that there may or may not be a new collection that came out of the entire thing. And I'm very tempted to pick that up. I would love to because, again,
like how old is this?
It was probably, I want to say like late 90s, early 2000s.
Really? Okay. I've never heard of it.
Because Mike Waringo died like, oh man, it was a while ago now.
Like,
sadly, a while ago.
2008, 2009?
Something like that. Like, it's coming up on it, you know, to the point where it's like 10 years ago, yeah. And this existed long before that. It was around the same time you had, like, a lot of the, it was after, but not concurrent, but after, but, like, you had, like, Humberto Ramos doing, like, Crimson, and had, like, the Danger Girl stuff going on. It wasn't, like, first wave Image or anything, but you had, like, those folks who were, like, famous, kind of very popular artists doing their own thing around that era. And it just, you know, it's always something that's kind of grabbed me. I'm like, I should really pick this up, but I never picked it up. I read a few things here and there and I enjoyed it, but it's one of those things where it's like a very bright and colorful, fanciful world, but it's like very kind of on the level of like Thieves and you know, kind of Misfits in that world. Where, you know, if there's a new collection coming out, I want to pick that up. It's one of my, it's like something that I should have picked up because I'm a big Waringo fan.
Cool.
So, I'm just bringing it up because I want a reminder to myself to, hey, check that out, you dumb jerk.
Listen now of a time long past when sorcery thrived and wild adventure was forever in the offing.
Have either of you read the BPRD stuff with Agent Howards?
No.
He's, I'm going to jump into this then.
Jump in!
He's, you know, like your standard, not main cast BPRD guy. He's not, you know, Hellboy or Liz or Abe. And he's like, it's him and a couple other agents. They go into this house where there's a bunch of super old stuff, and there's this super old broken sword, and he grabs it, like, you know, looking through stuff.
Yeah.
And his mind is transported back to, like, a Hyperborean, you know, time where he's this warrior, like, not entirely dissimilar to Conan.
Yeah.
Agent what?
Howards.
Oh, okay.
And,
Ron Howard?
Yeah.
He lives a whole life.
No, it's his brother.
Yeah. He lives, like, a whole life in this, this past, and it's just like his mind is transported to the past, and instantly in the current time frame he comes back and he's, you know, this freaking badass warrior with this broken sword that just kills monsters all the time. And it's like, it's super cool, and I'm sure I've talked about it a couple times where BPRD sort of got rid of the big three and they had to build up their cast of like these other nobody characters that no one cares about.
You gotta
and
build up this.
He is easily the most badass character. He's awesome. He just like
literally the premise is like some rando like agent who nobody cares about.
Just, I'm Agent Coulson. He becomes Conan.
Yeah.
He's and like he's still, you know, he doesn't really talk much now that he's back.
Yeah.
But he's just this badass guy who hangs out with them and kills monsters and like jumps on giant monsters with his broken ass sword and just slaughters the hell out of him. He's the best.
That sounds amazing.
He's the best.
Oh my god, the entire world is the best.
Yeah. He's so cool, you guys.
Yeah.
I gotta say that these sort of stories, the art makes a huge difference. Mm. Not that it's like, not that regular comics, the art doesn't make a huge difference, but I find that it seems to be amplified in these sort of things because it's the stories tend to be not simple, but very straightforward.
Yeah.
And you know, it's here's this guy and that guy and they're fighting and whatever. And yeah. Like it's not heavily complex. There's not twists and turns that you're never gonna see coming.
Right.
But it's how dynamic can you make this physicality? It's a heavily physical sort of thing.
Yeah.
How can you, like, John Buscema, I fell in love with his stuff when he did Conan in the 70s and 80s.
I like Steve Buscema.
Yeah.
Sorry. Keep going.
But I'm sorry. Like I can't stop giggling.
Savage sort of Conan, like, that was, like, my brother had a subscription to that, so it got delivered to the house. And Savage Sword.
Is that still a thing that happens?
Subscriptions?
Yeah, like comic subscriptions?
I don't know. I had one to like G.I. Joe and X-Men, Uncanny X-Men when I was a kid, but
I love that picture of Captain Britain coming with two hot dogs in the summer.
What? Is that a porn parody?
Out of context, that sounds super filthy.
Sorry, yeah.
In context, still kind of filthy.
Yeah. I don't recall that at all.
That was like one of those, like, you know, on the subscription page.
Do you like a corn dog?
It's, like, it's got the checklist and everything.
Right, but yeah, yeah.
They do like a fun picture and there was like an Excalibur one where
he's holding two wieners.
They're all on the beach. And
would you like British wieners?
Yeah. Nightcrawler was getting the hell
we
out of
we call them
there.
Cocks in buns. No, we don't. No, they don't.
Do you like a couple bangers?
Bangers and beans? And I fell out of Conan for a long time, and then it was a buddy of mine in Vancouver.
Ooh.
I literally was going to use his bathroom, and he's like, hey, while you're in the bathroom.
Hey, don't piss on my Conans.
He's like, read the Conans while you're in there. And I'm like, what the fuck? And I sit on the toilet, and I look, and he's got a stack of the first like three or four Dark Horse.
Oh, that's cool.
Conan trades. And it was Kerry Nord. And that's where I discovered Kerry Nord. I'm like, oh my god, this guy blows my mind.
This guy blows.
I'm on the toilet and I'm blown.
He really carries your Nord, if you know what I'm saying.
I don't get that.
I do.
Gross. Explain it to me later with diagrams.
I'm drawing them right now.
But it's the thing that was interesting, and I was like looking at it going, like, this just looks, something looks different about it, and it's, there's no inks.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's penciled, and then it's just colored over the pencils. Yeah.
That was a thing for a while.
There's a few people that have done that, and it's like, I've seen it done. Some
people could do it really well.
Yeah, some people could do it really poorly. Yeah. And it was like, that was the first time I saw it done really well, and I'm like, this is amazing. And it was the first time I saw someone portray Conan that wasn't John Buscema, that... like that's my iconic Conan look, and I never thought I could find somebody that could do a Conan that looked different and wasn't trying to portray that same sort of look, and still I'm reading it going, yeah, this is totally Conan, but he totally did it, and it was fucking amazing. And there's been even some Brian Chang that did a huge stint on one of the newer Conan ones as well, and it was really like jaggedy kind of drawing, and he was much leaner, and it was like not this huge muscular bulk sort of thing.
Well, that's the thing. Conan doesn't work out.
Well, but
that's like me practicing drawing. I don't get a chance to do that. Every time I'm practicing, it's because I'm working on something.
Yeah,
that's Conan physically. So I'm not unlike Conan.
He's living that Conan life.
That's what I'm saying.
I am evil.
I also have to tell a little personal story about meeting one of my
Conan
artist heroes.
Okay.
Hi, Conan!
Ernie Chan, who actually was the inker for a ton of Marvel stuff. He inked John Buscema for a long time on a bunch of different Conan stuff. And he also ended up drawing Conan in, I think, Barbarian and Savage Sword.
Okay.
I think it was the second time I was at the Calgary convention. He was there, and I went, and I'm like, he's like this little, tiny, super nice, but very unassuming and very quiet Asian guy. And he's just like an older dude, and he is actually since has passed. And I walked up, and I got a few things signed, and he actually did a couple of Power Man and Iron Fist that it was, I think he drew it, and Mike Mignola inked it. And Mike Mignola was at the same convention. Yeah. So I'm like, oh my God, you signed this and then you signed this. And it was like a 2-4. Yeah, I was like, this is just fun for me.
That's awesome.
Like, I'm not a big, I like getting stuff signed, but I'm not like a collector. Like, I need to get this signed. It's like, it's just for the fun of it, of meeting these people that I've admired for years. But, you know, again, I met him very quickly at the convention. I don't like gushing, and I don't like talking too much. Right. I don't like bugging them very much. So then I kind of left him like, thank you very much. Very nice to meet you. I love your stuff kind of thing. And I left it at that. And then I went back to the hotel, and then I, at one point, walk in the elevator, heading out to my room, and I walk into the elevator, and there's Ernie Chan. And he's standing beside me. He's got to be like 4'5". It's like one of those... whenever I go to Calgary, I always run into somebody in the
elevator. I love you!
I run into somebody in the elevator. Uhura I met in the elevator.
Nice.
From Star Trek.
Nichelle Nichols?
Yeah, who was also 4'5".
What?
Yeah. I turned around and I looked at him, and she just kind of looks at me, and I look at her, and I'm like... I didn't say anything. I was just like... Yeah. Like, I don't want to be that fan.
She's just like, I get this every fucking day.
She just had the look in her eye like, yes, I know you know who I am. Are you going to say something? Like, but I'll be really cool about it. I'm like, no, that's good. We're in an elevator. We're just right. And she had a huge bodyguard beside her. And I'm like, it's all
and
good.
And then huge bodyguard, of course, Prison Yu-Gi-Oh.
Yeah. No.
Callback!
If you get that,
there's an
thanks
asterisk.
For sticking around.
See episode 4.
Yeah, really.
Smiling Kyle.
2 asterisks, except maybe don't.
And it might not have been episode 4. I don't know.
Yeah.
Who cares?
Quickly does an episode search.
Prison Yu-Gi-Oh! Was episode 11. Which was an episode we did on cosmic characters.
Coming up 0.
All right, welcome to the Moment of Zero. I'm on duty this week. So this week, you guys know how you pick your porn star name, right?
Yeah, it's a pet name and a street name.
Yeah, that's right.
Chrono street name.
Yep. So I
mom's name and mom's last name.
Not Evelyn. Not Evelyn. Wait.
Evelyn. Go ahead.
I did a little bit of research and I came up with some superhero porn names.
What?
Actual ones?
By finding pets and addresses. Not. It wasn't always a childhood home. I couldn't find a whole bunch of childhood homes.
Sure.
But I did find, like, you know, current addresses through various medias and, you know, pets. So I've got a little list. Yep. And we're going to go through these. And they're going to be fun. I'm going to see how you react to...
Are we aroused?
For instance, Batman, who lives on 1007 Mountain Drive.
Okay.
Ace Mountain.
That's a pretty good one.
Oh, a pet name, right? Mm-hmm.
That's a pretty good one.
Ace Mountain.
Or Titus Mountain.
Depending
or
on.
Bat Cow Mountain.
That's a niche market.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but, you know.
Yeah, but those people will pay extra.
Yeah, they'll pay crazy extra.
They prime rates, yeah.
All right. Spider-Man, who lives on 20 Ingram Street.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. You might remember Aunt May's dog, Miss Lion.
I do.
Yeah.
Who, first, I don't know if you would say transgender or at least cross-dressing dog. Miss Lion was a boy, genetically.
Oh, yeah?
What?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, that's true.
So,
good for Miss Lion.
Miss Lion Ingram.
That's Peter Parker's poor name.
Or Lion Ingram. But yeah. I prefer Miss Lion Ingram.
Yeah, I do too.
Mm. Or just Miss Ingram if you're nasty. That sounds like I wrote it down to say, but no, that was right off the dome. I like for Aquaman, I've just got like a bunch of things in brackets.
Porpoise.
Porpy was Donald Duck's dolphin. And I don't know where Donald Duck lived. I just wanted to mention that he had a dolphin named Porpy in the Italian Donald Duck comics.
He just lives in the crawl space of the money bank. I mean, come on.
God,
that guy doesn't have a house. Come on.
I am looking forward to that DuckTales cartoon.
Yeah. Oh, it's going to be good.
But for Aquaman, there was Toppo, the octopus.
Yep. Oh, God. We started at Toppo.
Yeah.
So we're doing pretty good with poor names.
And we're ending at Lighthouse, because dude grew up in a lighthouse.
Toppo Lighthouse. That's a pretty good porn name.
It's a, you know, first name's a many limbed creature, last name's a phallic symbol.
Yep. He knows what he's doing.
Aquaman's gay for pay, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wrong episode.
Just copy and paste this into the last one. Yeah. Cut and paste.
I'm gonna just say the Iron Man thing without any context because it's hard to explain. Iron Buddy Malibu.
Iron Buddy Malibu?
Okay, so he lives on 10,880 Malibu Point, as shown in Iron Man 3.
Right.
His home address. Come at me, Mandarin.
Did he get blown the fuck out?
Yeah. There's this Marvel Heroes game, I think it's like an online game, where you can get pet characters to sort of help out your heroes.
Right.
But the one for Iron Man is like maybe a 3-foot Mark I armor suit just named Iron Buddy. So I like the idea of Iron Buddy Malibu.
I assumed it would be like a dog wearing an Iron Man costume.
That's what I thought too.
Which would be like...
Definitely Iron Man's going to have a dog with roller skates, right?
Yeah. For sure. Would you be, like, the entire concept would be cute, but also terrifying.
Oh, I didn't even think of looking up Hawkeye.
Yeah.
What about Hawkman?
What about Hawkman?
Or Falcon.
Didn't that Hawkeye...
Red
Hawkeye,
Wing.
Hawkeye grew up in a circus, so he's Lucky...
So Lucky Circus?
Lucky Circus is his name.
But I do have one more.
His porn soundtrack is...
No, it's a. Check out this tent.
Yep. Oh.
You like this? This is intense.
Oh.
Anyway, gosh darn. I got one more. One of you might like it. One of you might hate it. Michelangelo.
Oh, I was like, no. Is it Dragon Ball?
Michelangelo's poor name, Clunk Sewer.
I love it.
Oh, that's good. I thought you were going to hate it.
Oh, yeah.
I like that. That's good.
Who wants to team up with Clunk Sewer?
And next on the stage is Clunk Sewer.
Pity money.
Yeah.
Stop throwing
slip
pennies.
It in the shell if you like it.
I'm glad it's Clunk and not Ice Cream Kitty.
Yeah,
I like Ice Cream Kitty, but I would like Ice Cream Kitty to be demutated into Clunk.
Or you just call Ice Cream Kitty Clunk.
I like it.
The end. Who are we?
I'm Merc. You can find me at mercasylum.ca, MERKASYLUM.ca. You can find me at Merc on Facebook, Merc Asylum on Twitter, Mercanaut, like astronaut, MERKANAUT on the Instagrams. My new book you can find at Merc Asylum. Just click the store thing. You go down, and then there's little stores and things, and you can click books, and you can find my books. And you order the books, and I send it to your house. Amazing how the post system works.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm Kyle Lees. You can look up my name, The Kyle Lees. You can type in thekylelees.com. Everything you need to know is there. So, like, there's no sense in me talking more about it. And I point myself over to Bri.
My name is Bri Kotick. And I'm here to say... you can check out my comic at welcometohereafter.com. It's wrapping up its third book, Christ Incorporated, and the next book, The God Who Fell to Earth, will launch at some point in this summer. I haven't chosen. I'm taking a little, going to take a little hiatus to work ahead. It's been a little hectic
lately.
Yay,
buffer!
Yeah. That's a good idea.
I feel like I'm just taking time to actually, like, organically work on something and having the time to actually kind of do that. Adding preservatives is not a good thing. No, not really. No. I'm trying to, like, put a page out a week regardless, but I'm just trying to not be stressed out by a deadline.
Yeah. If you're doing it just to hit that deadline, then the story can suffer. So why not actually just take a breather and get ahead of it, and then
I can do so, if I'm doing it for the joy of it instead of the deadline, I'm hoping that I'll be able to work ahead a little bit and sort of capture some stuff, and it'll be good. So yeah, welcome to hereafter.com. You can find me BRYKOTYK pretty much anywhere on the
Y2K
internet. Yeah. Y2K. Y2K!
Why not?
What's up with all the 2K? Thanks, as ever, to Ocean City Defender for doing all the awesome theme song stuff, all the awesome interstitial stuff.
And just being an awesome guy overall.
Yeah. So anyways, I'm going to nap for the next 5 minutes. You guys take you go ahead and do whatever.
All right. Tune in next week when Kyle says...
Mamma mia. I'm Mario 64, the person.
That's a great game and a great person.
I hold up.
All right. Bye-bye.
We'll give you a lift to jail.